Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, September 1st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, City. Downtown hotel talks happen again. Trust. This effort is noteworthy because it is financed 90% locally. By Stuart Doreen. Preliminary conversations are taking place to bring a hotel to downtown Midland. The effort continues, according to City Councilman Michael Trost, who said the latest attempt is taking place using local investors, local management, and a local builder. Conversations also include the officials with Marriott Corporation. Trost described the dialogue so far as being positive. He also said this effort is noteworthy because it will require minimal city or taxpayer involvement and is financed 90% locally. He said those representing the Marriott brand have 20-plus hotels across the country. While negotiations are also expected to involve officials with the City of Midland and Midland Development Corporation, a hotel of around 200 rooms is being talked about, the at-large councilman said. Sarah Harris, executive director of the MDC, confirmed that a get-to-know-you meeting has taken place, but there was nothing further that she could make public. She did say that the mayor previously said the possibility of a hotel has been on the table since the previous deal with the Midway Group was terminated. Trost said the area being looked at is where the Western United Life Building stands, in the 300 block of West Texas Avenue, and the adjacent property where the building of the Southwest once stood. Trost remarked that the market requires the addition of another hotel to go along with the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Midland Plaza. Proponents of downtown development have stated that more hotel options are needed after the building of the Bush Convention Center and the opening of Centennial Park. Trost called a beautiful new hotel an enhancement to downtown. Preliminary conversations reveal the hotel would be designed in a way that is in keeping with the look of the downtown area. Another hotel will be well-suited, Trost said. It is not necessary, but it would be nice. The Midway project was the third higher-profile attempt to put a hotel in the heart of downtown. In 2019, council members voted to build a 205-room hotel across from Centennial Park. In 2015, city leaders voted to approve a master developer agreement on the Hotel Santa Rita project, which would have been built on the area where the former Midland County Courthouse once stood, part of the property where Centennial Park resides. In September 2013, city leaders voted to approve an incentive package for the energy tower at City Center that started as a 53-story building, but later was changed to two towers, the largest of which would have been 22 stories. This article is entitled, Odessa Leaders Reflect 2 years After August 31st Shooting. They spoke during ceremony to honor victims of the 2019 tragedy. By Caitlin Randall. 2 years after an Odessa gunman killed 7 and wounded 25, city leaders reflect on that day and the community's efforts to heal. Several Odessa figures spoke Tuesday evening during a ceremony to honor the victims of the 2019 Labor Day weekend shooting. The ceremony was hosted by the Family Resilience Center and streamed virtually because of rising COVID-19 cases. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke said he was at home getting ready for his 48th birthday party when he began receiving calls about the shooting. He spoke about the efforts of the multiple law enforcement agencies involved to find the shooter during the 60-minute shooting spree, which stretched from Midland to Odessa. Gerke said that when reviewing body camera footage, he saw several officers crying out of frustration because it was taking so long to locate the shooter. One officer's car overheated because he was driving so quickly during the search, and he had to stop to add coolant, Gerke said. I think all of us that day were involved in some way on August 31st, 2019, are kind of forever linked, he said. I think we are. I think we will always feel for each other, and from this day to the end of time, I believe those people, those families, those loved ones who passed will always be part of us. Hector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths also spoke Tuesday night about how serving as a law enforcement officer during the shooting has affected him. There's just some things you don't get over. You learn to live with it, he said. I want you to know, you folks who were directly affected that day, you didn't cry alone, and you don't cry alone today. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven, who was sworn into office last year, quoted a passage from the Bible about forgiving those who trespass against us. He said, forgiveness is not acceptance of the wrong that was done, but rather is about acknowledging and letting go. Forgiveness is a choice, Hoven said. You will never feel like doing it, but once you choose to forgive, you will then feel the peace that you have been longing for. The city of Odessa commissioned an art piece following the shooting to honor and memorialize victims. Odessa Arts Director Randy Hamm said Tuesday that Bright Stars Memorial will be completed by the end of the year and will be placed at the University of Texas Permian Basin by the end of 2022. The memorial will consist of an 11-inch bronze cylinder with cutout text honoring the victims and first responders from August 31st, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. The project was estimated to cost $800,000 and was funded by a combination of hotel occupancy tax money and private donations. This is the local page. Remembering the tragic shootings from August 31st, 2019. The following are statements from elected leaders in the City of Midland about the anniversary of the Odessa Midland shootings from 2019. Craddock, we will never forget those who were senselessly lost on that day. 2 years ago, Tuesday, our community was shaken by the senseless act of another. This tragedy took the lives of 7 innocent members in our community. While we will never fully understand the actions of our fellow citizen, we will never forget those who were senselessly lost on that day. Our community showed their resilience in the wake of this tragedy. I am proud to represent the Permian Basin and a community that will come together to help each other in a time of need. State Representative Tom Craddock, Republican, Midland. Landgraf. In the darkness, the people of West Texas emerged as a bright light. 2 years ago, our community and region were beset by a force of evil, and our collective strength was tested. A mobile rampage indiscriminately killed innocent lives and left countless families grieving. But in the face of such daunting darkness, the people of West Texas emerged as a bright light for all the world to see. The people here are resilient, like a cactus. Odessa is a dry piece of desert radiating in scorching heat with hardly a natural tree or body of water in sight. We live in the harshest conditions, but we survive and we thrive. We put our head down and get to work. Always with undeniable grit. It is the people residing here that make this the most beautiful spot on earth. Our hearts overflow with love for our families and pride in our victories. We place our faith in Almighty God and always stand ready to help our brothers and sisters in times of need. Kind people from all across this community gave anything and everything they had, even their own blood, to help strangers, and did so without batting an eye. The Permian Basin, surrounded by a fury of chaos and in the face of evil, stood strong and responded with might in true Texas spirit. The names of those lost will be forever etched in our hearts and will always be part of the fabric of our community. Edwin Peregrino, Joseph Griffith, Cameron Brown, Lila Hernandez, Mary Granados, Raul Garcia, and Rodolfo Arco. Our nation often looks to Texas as a beacon of hope, and I truly believe our great state can always look to the Permian Basin and its people as the best example of what it means to be a Texan. On this day, I am reminded of how proud I am of Odessa and how much I love this city. I was born and raised here in Odessa, and I'm honored to serve its people in the Texas House of Representatives. In the darkest of moments, our strong-willed hearts and giving souls will always guide us through. That's why the Permian Basin will always exemplify the best of Texas. Today especially, we keep in our prayers the survivors and the families of the victims of 8/31/19. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican, Odessa. Governor, Texans came together to support their brothers and sisters grieving in Midland and Odessa. 2 years ago today, the Midland-Odessa community suffered a horrific tragedy when a shooter took the lives of 7 innocent Texans and injured dozens more. This senseless act of violence marked a very dark period for Midland and Odessa, and we will never forget our fellow Texans whose lives were taken that day. In the wake of this attack, Texans across our state came together to support their brothers and sisters grieving in Midland and Odessa. And the state took immediate action to help prevent such a tragedy from happening again. Today and every day, we remember and honor the lives lost in Midland, Odessa 2 years ago. We also continue to pray for the victims' families and loved ones. And we thank the brave men and women of law enforcement who bravely responded to the attack that day. Together, we will continue to work toward a safer and brighter future for all Texans. To keep Texans safe and ensure that tragedies like the one in Midland, Odessa never happen again, Governor Abbott issued 8 executive orders directing state law enforcement to enhance anti-mass violence measures, called upon the Texas Safety Commission to identify any shortcomings in our systems, and promoted the Texas Department of Public Safety's Safe Gun Storage campaign. A recommendation of the Texas Safety Action Report led to the passage of important public safety legislation authored by Representative Brooks Landgraf and supported by Senator Kel Seliger and Representative Tom Craddock during the 87th legislative session. The bill increases the penalty to a state jail felony for those who lie on federal background checks that are already prohibited from owning a gun. Funding was also appropriated to promote the statewide safe gun storage campaign through 2023. Governor Greg Abbott, Republican, Texas. Congressman, heartbreak of that day is permanently etched in our minds and hearts. Today marks 2 years since our West Texas community was rocked by a senseless tragedy that took 7 lives and forever changed countless others. The heartbreak of that day is permanently etched in our minds and our hearts. Today we pause to remember and honor those we lost and stand with their families and loved ones. Our community remains indebted to our law enforcement officers and first responders who bravely ran into the line of fire. May the peace of God be with everyone who is hurting. God bless Texas. U.S. Representative August Pfluger, Republican, San Angelo. City, we are always West Texas strong. On August 31st, 2021, marks 2 years since the Permian Basin experienced an act of violence that changed many lives forever. Today and every day, we remember the lives lost on that day and those that were injured. We also thank all first responders for the work done that day that protected other citizens in harm's way. We are always hashtag West Texas Strong. City of Midland. This article is entitled OPEC Plus Sees Market Reviving by Grant Smith and Salma El Wardani. Bloomberg. OPEC and its allies expect global oil markets will continue to tighten this year, even as they revive output, but then flip into surplus again in 2022. The data to be presented to the group's Joint Technical Committee on Tuesday ought to reassure the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its partners that they can proceed with a widely expected output increase for October. Ministers will meet at 5 p.m. Vienna time the following day. Fuel stockpiles will continue to decline during the rest of this year, even as OPEC Plus proceeds with its agreement to add 400,000 barrels a day each month, the data indicates. World inventories will diminish at an average rate of 825,000 barrels a day over the next 4 months. But the numbers reveal a fresh challenge for Saudi Arabia and its partners in 2022 as they gradually reverse output cuts that helped rescue the global oil industry last year. Markets are projected to tip back into surplus next year with an average oversupply of 1.6 million barrels a day. The committee's preliminary data pointed to an excess of 2.5 million barrels. The projections assume the group will restore all of the almost 6 million barrels a day of output that remains offline, an unlikely feat as many countries may struggle to reach their full targets. The amount of crude production that OPEC Plus theoretically holds offline is based on questionable figures. Russia has an inflated baseline that's significantly higher than pre-pandemic output. Some other members have outdated capacity numbers, with countries including Angola and Nigeria already struggling to make the supply increases permitted under the deal. But even if the group can't fully restore its own output, the market environment may remain challenging next year. Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman emphasized at the group's last meeting that OPEC Plus is prepared to pause or even reverse its scheduled output increases if necessary. The coalition's latest estimates suggest that Riyadh and its partners may need to exercise that option at some point in the coming year. This article is entitled Legislature Sends Sweeping Voting Bill to Abbott's Desk by Paul J. Weber and Acacia Coronado, Associated Press. Austin. The GOP-controlled Texas legislature passed a broad overhaul of the state's election laws Tuesday, tightening already strict voting rules and dealing a bruising defeat to Democrats who waged a months-long fight over what they argued was a brazen attempt to disenfranchise minorities and other Democratic-leaning voters. Republican Governor Greg Abbott said he will sign the bill, the latest in a national GOP campaign to add new hurdles to voting in the name of security. The effort, which led to new restrictions in Georgia, Florida, Arizona, and elsewhere, was spurred in part by former President Donald Trump's false claims of a stolen election. Texas Democrats fought the legislation for months, arguing the bill was tailored to make it harder for young people, racial and ethnic minorities, and people with disabilities, all Democratic-leaning voters, to cast ballots, just as they see the Democratic shifting to favor their party. The bill specifically targets Democratic strongholds, including Houston's Harris County, further tightening rules in a state already considered among the hardest places to cast a ballot. The legislation set off a heated summer in Texas of walkouts by Democrats, Republicans threatening them with arrest, Abbott vetoing the paychecks of thousands of rank-and-file staffers when the bill failed to reach him sooner, and accusations of racism and voter suppression. The emotional reasons for not voting for it are that it creates hardships for people because of the color of their skin and their ethnicity. And I am part of that class of people, said Democrat Garnet Coleman, a state representative who returned to the Capitol earlier this month, helped end a 38-day standoff. Even the final vote did not escape a parting round of confrontation after Senate Republicans at the last minute scuttled one of the few areas of bipartisan agreement. Efforts to shield voters with felony conviction from prosecutions if they did not realize they were ineligible to cast a ballot. It had been included following backlash over the arrests of two Texas voters, both of whom are black, which intensified criticism amid a broader fight over voting restrictions that opponents say disproportionately impact people of color. Texas will limit voting hours and empower particular poll watchers under the nearly 75-page bill known as Senate Bill 1. It is largely similar to the one Democrats first walked out on 93 days ago, underscoring how Republicans, who have overwhelming majorities in both the House and Senate, hold their ground in the face of months of protest and escalating brinkmanship. This is the state page. This article is entitled 666 New Texas Laws Go Into Effect September 1st by Andrew Zhang, Texas Tribune. 666 new Texas laws will go into effect this Wednesday. Debated, passed, and signed during the 87th Texas Legislature, these laws include changes to public safety, health care, and K-12 education. Not every bill signed into law during the regular session will go into effect September 1st. Some bills went into effect as soon as they were signed. For example, Senate Bill 968, which banned vaccine passports in Texas, became law when Governor Greg Abbott signed it in June. Other bills, like one that revises eminent domain negotiations between landowners and companies, will become law on January 1, 2022. The legislature is currently in its second special session, which Abbott primarily called to advance the GOP-backed voting restrictions bill. Lawmakers are discussing other topics, including changes to the bail system and limits on transgender Texans from competing on school sports teams. At least one more special session will be called this fall to address redistricting. But in the meantime, here's a list of the new laws you should know. Texas's 2022-2023 budget. SB 1 provides nearly $250 billion for Texas, with notable funds going toward public higher education. Abbott line item vetoed the part of the budget that funds the Texas legislature and the people who staff it. But lawmakers may restore funding during this summer's second special session. Permitless carry. House Bill 1927 allows Texans ages 21 and older to carry handguns without training or a license as long as they are not legally prevented from doing so. Abortion restrictions. SB 8 prohibits abortions as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. In lieu of government enforcement, private individuals can sue abortion providers or people who assist abortion after an ultrasound can detect what lawmakers defined as a fetal heartbeat. Embryos at this developmental stage don't possess a heart. Medical and legal experts say the sound Republican lawmakers are referring to is the motion of electrical pulses stimulating muscle cells in a tube that will eventually become part of the heart. abortion providers are suing to block the law. Additionally, HB 1280 would outlaw abortion in Texas 30 days after any potential U.S. Supreme Court decision overturns Roe v. Wade. Medical marijuana expansion. People with any form of cancer or post-traumatic stress disorder now have access to low THC cannabis for medical purposes. HB 1535 is an expansion of the Texas Compassionate Use Program, which allows people with conditions such as epilepsy and autism to access medical marijuana. Reducing barriers to SNAP. SB 224 simplifies access to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for seniors and disabled people on fixed incomes. Eligible individuals can forego enrollment interviews and have a shortened application process. Funding the 1836 Project. HB 2497 establishes an 1836 Project committee to produce patriotic Texas history materials, which will be distributed through channels such as when people receive driver's licenses. The initiative's name mirrors the 1619 Project, a New York Times publication examining U.S. history from the arrival of enslaved people. Star-Spangled Banner Protection Act. Professional sports teams with state funding are required to play the national anthem before games under SB 4. Reducing pre-K class sizes. Pre-kindergarten classes are now capped at 22 students, the same maximum class size of other elementary school grades under SB 2081. New state employee retirement accounts. SB 321 enrolls new state workers hired after September 1, 2022, in a cash balance plan, which deposits a percentage of a worker's annual compensation in retirement accounts and is similar to a 401k retirement account. Currently, employees have defined benefit retirement accounts based on employment position and previous salaries. Shielding companies from car crash liability. HB 19 requires drivers of commercial vehicles, including Ubers, Lyfts, and delivery trucks, to be found liable in court for causing a car crash resulting in injury or death before a case can be brought against their employer. Active Shooter Alert System. HB 103 creates the Texas Active Shooter Alert System, which will notify Texans in the vicinity of an active shooting scene through their phones. The system can be activated by request of local law enforcement. Police body cameras. HB 929 requires police officers to keep body cameras on during the entirety of active investigations. The law is named after Botham Jean, who was fatally shot in his apartment while eating ice cream by a Dallas police officer in 2018. Banning unnecessary police chokeholds. Police officers are now prohibited from using chokeholds or excessive force during arrests unless necessary to prevent officer or bystander injury under SB 69. Officers who witness violations are required to report the incident. Online ballot tracking system. HB 1382 creates an online tracking system for mail-in ballots and applications for mail-in ballots. The system will be run by the Texas Secretary of State. Punishing cities who cut police budgets. If municipalities with a population of more than 250,000 reduce their police budget, HB 1900 allows the state to financially punish the cities by reducing sales tax revenues and preventing increases in property taxes. Felony punishment for blocking emergency vehicles. HB 9 will make blocking access to a hospital or an emergency vehicle with its lights and sirens on a state jail felony. The bill was passed as a response to protesters being arrested for blocking ambulances during Black Lives Matter protests last summer. Criminalizing homeless camping. HB 1925 makes camping in unapproved public places a misdemeanor crime that carries a fine of up to $500. Cities cannot opt out of the ban. This article is entitled State Officials Urging SCOTUS to Okay Ban on 6-Week Abortion by Greg Storr and Laurel Calkins, Bloomberg. Texas officials urged the U.S. Supreme Court to allow a new law that would bar abortion after the 6 week of pregnancy as the justices weighed calls by clinics and doctors to block the measure before it takes effect Wednesday. In a court filing Tuesday, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said the providers haven't shown they will be harmed by the law, which would be enforced by private lawsuits rather than government lawyers. They have not shown that they will be personally harmed by a bill that may never be enforced against them by anyone, Paxton argued. The showdown could be a pivotal moment on one of the country's most divisive issues. A decision allowing the Texas law to take effect could signal that the high court is poised to topple precedents that now protect abortion rights until much later in pregnancy. In the coming months, the conservative-controlled court will hear a Mississippi appeal that seeks to overturn the core constitutional abortion right. The Texas law would be the strictest in the nation, barring abortion after a fetal heartbeat can be detected and before many women know they are pregnant. The challengers say the law would ban abortion for at least 85% of patients in the state and force many clinics to close. The law would immediately and catastrophically reduce abortion access in Texas, the providers, led by Whole Woman's Health, argued in court papers filed Monday. The clinics and doctors are seeking to block the law from taking effect while the litigation goes forward. A New Orleans-based federal appeals court effectively barred any pre-enforcement challenge. The law's unusual enforcement mechanism is at the center of the clash. The measure lets private parties sue anyone who helps a woman get an abortion and collect a minimum of $10,000 in damages per procedure, but doesn't authorize government officials to sue. That provision left unclear who challengers could sue before the law takes effect. The defendants in the lawsuit include a state judge and clerk who the providers say will be responsible for handling cases filed in their courts. The complaint also names Mark Lee Dixon, an anti-abortion pastor who the clinics say has threatened to file suits against those who violate the act. The defendants say the providers lack legal standing to sue at this stage because they can't show an imminent injury stemming from the law. The government defendants also say they are protected from suit by sovereign immunity. A federal trial judge had been set to consider stopping the law from taking effect, but a three-judge panel of the conservative Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals blocked the lower court proceedings from going forward. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Oil Heads for Biggest Monthly Loss This Year by Sheila Tobin and Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Oil in New York is headed for the biggest monthly loss since October, as investors weighed the prospect of additional OPEC plus production and the restoration of crude output in the U.S. after Hurricane Ida. West Texas Intermediate fell as much as 1.5% in New York and has declined about 7% this month. Gulf of Mexico crude producers are expected to resume service gradually after Ida crashed ashore in Louisiana over the weekend. Refineries are expected to return to operations more slowly. there's optimism that the industry will bounce back sooner than later, which is causing crude prices to weaken, said Robert Yauger, director of the Futures Division at Mizuho Securities. I'm looking for oil production coming back in a week and refineries coming back in 2 weeks, he said. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies will meet on Wednesday to assess the global market and prospects for demand as the new pandemic grinds on. The alliance forecasts a supply deficit this year, even as it continues to add production. A surplus is expected to return in 2022. Oil has endured a turbulent August, rising and falling on alternate weeks, as investors reacted to the latest twists in the global health crisis and swings in the dollar. U.S. benchmark crude slumped this month despite a steady draw in stockpiles, and some nations have managed to control virus outbreaks driven by the Delta variant. There are some pre-OPEC plus jitters and the realization that Hurricane Ida has a short-term negative impact on demand, while supply should not be impacted, said Ole Hansen, head of commodity strategy at Saxo Bank AS. Energy companies affected by Ida moved to restore operations. Colonial Pipeline Company said Tuesday that it resumed service on two of its key conduits to send fuel from the Gulf Coast to the Northeast. Data in Asia continues to show the impact of the Delta variant virus outbreak in recent months. On Tuesday, China's official Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index fell to 50.1 from 50.4 in July, slightly lower than the median estimate in a Bloomberg survey of economists. That suggests Beijing's curves on mobility to check the spread of the Delta variant may have affected the pace of growth. Meanwhile, Japan's oil demand in July was down about 8% from 2019 levels, according to Bloomberg calculations from government data. This is the obituary column. Wednesday, September 1st. Jashaun Daimland. Jashaun Daimland Thomas was born on October 16, 2005, to Teresa McCoy and Henry Thomas in Austin, Texas. Our beloved Jashaun departed this life on August 22, 2021 at Midland Memorial Hospital from a fatal gunshot wound. Jashaun leaves to forever cherish his memories, his loving mother Teresa McCoy, his father Henry Thomas, one sister Amia Thomas, an aunt Dominique Thomas, an uncle Stephen McCoy, a grandmother Cheryl Robinson, a grandfather Henry Wise Jr., Jeannie, and his own personal chef, his great-grandmother, Shirley Mahone. One stepfather, Romanus Robertson Jr., stepsisters, Lania James, Mahari Thomas, and Asia Robertson. Stepbrothers, Romanus Robertson III and Antonio Robertson, along with many more relatives, family, and friends. Visitation will be held on Sunday, August 29th. Services are under the direction of Jackie Warren Funeral Home.
Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday, September 1st. Online memorial marks 2 years since mass shooting by Michael Bauer. The horrific tragedy of 2 years ago has left scars on the community, but the message Tuesday night was one of hope and healing for all of Odessa. On Tuesday, a live-streaming tribute was held on the Family Resiliency Center of the Permian Base's Facebook page to honor the victims of the tragic shooting that took place in 2019. 2 years ago, on August 31st, 7 people were killed and 25 others were injured when Seth Ator took to the streets of Odessa and parts of Midland, shooting at random people before law enforcement shot him to death near Synergy Theater. In Tuesday's live stream, many members of the community were featured as they spoke to a population that's still reeling from the events. The theme throughout the video was hope and healing. We understand that this is a very traumatic event and grief is very individualized, Family Resiliency Center Coordinator Chandra Coleman said. We're not here to tell anyone how to grieve, but we do want to offer a message that hope and healing are possible, and as we rely on each other, and as we seek appropriate care, and as we continue to come together. District Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley described Odessa as having the most wonderful people who are the backbone of Texas. August 31st was a life changer, Billingsley said. It was surreal. We can remember where we were and what we were doing. We have each other. We attended funerals for strangers and came together as a community because there is always hope. First responders were also acknowledged for their work on that fateful day. It was our first responders, those who came to work day after day and did their jobs, Billingsley said. It wasn't FEMA or federal funding that helped the families. It was the community. You all did it with honor, love, and compassion. Odessa Police Chief Michael Gerke also spoke during the event. All of us that were involved in the incidents are forever linked, Gerke said. I think those people and people who have passed will be a part of us. I just want you to remember that we were Odessa Strong then, and we will always be Odessa Strong. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths echoed some of Gerke's comments. Odessa has changed a lot over the years, Griffiths said. What I've learned in my lifetime is that we've always been Odessa Strong. We have the best people here in Odessa, in my belief. I'm blessed to live here and blessed to have you as my neighbors. Executive Director of Odessa Arts, Randy Hamm, talked about the upcoming Bright Stars Memorial that will be at UTPB by the end of 2022. This will be the most significant piece of public art that we will ever have in the community, but it's the one I wish I never had to do, Hamm said. I can't imagine what it's like for other people. I want to say thank you to the community and allowing Odessa Arts to be a part of the healing process and allowing an artist to come down here and make a piece of art that we can all be proud of. Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven spoke of forgiveness and moving during the ceremony where moments of silence were reserved for each of the 7 victims. Coleman also spoke about unity. On September 1, 2019, the community came together, Coleman said of the day after the shooting. We really want people to remember that moment when unity was at the forefront of everyone's mind so we can continue to heal because the grieving process is far from over for many people. The center was planning to host an in-person private ceremony for the families who have lost loved ones, but those plans were changed because of the recent rise in COVID cases. A private virtual ceremony was still held for just the families of the shooting victims right before the public event on Facebook. We usually do a small private ceremony for the families of those who are deceased and those who were injured but survived, Coleman said. So us and Odessa Arts and the City of Odessa and UTPB, Odessa Police Department, were trying to do something in person, and when the decision was made to cancel that, we decided to expand our original event. We don't have the capacity to hold a whole community at the center, but we always intend to do something private for the families. The Family Resiliency Center of the Permian Basin was created through partnerships in Odessa and Midland to serve as a long-term resource for healing following the tragedy of August 31st, 2019. This is what we exist to do, to help this community grow through the trauma of August 2019, Coleman said. We are really excited to be able to do it and humbled at the opportunity for these people to come and trust us to remember their loved ones and celebrate the ones who are still with us. More information on the Family Resiliency Center can be found at their website at https://www.frcpb.org/ or by calling them at 432-848-6944. Statement from the Governor. Earlier in the day, Texas Governor Greg Abbott gave a statement of the shooting. 2 years ago today, the Midland-Odessa community suffered a horrific tragedy when a shooter took the lives of 7 innocent Texans and injured dozens more, Abbott said. This senseless act of violence marked a very dark period for Midland-Odessa, and we will never forget our fellow Texans whose lives were taken that day. In the wake of this attack, Texans across our state came together to support their brothers and sisters grieving in Midland and Odessa, and the state took immediate action to help prevent such a tragedy from happening again. Today and every day, we remember and honor the lives lost in Midland, Odessa 2 years ago. We also continue to pray for the victims' families and loved ones, and we thank the brave men and women of law enforcement who bravely responded to the attack that day. Together, we will continue to work toward a safer and brighter future for all Texans. August Pfluger Statement. On Tuesday, Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, issued a statement on the second anniversary of the shooting. Today marks 2 years since our West Texas community was rocked by a senseless tragedy that took 7 lives and forever changed countless others, Pfluger said in the statement. The heartbreak of that day is permanently etched in our minds and hearts. Today we pause to remember and honor those we lost and stand with their families and loved ones. Our community remains indebted to our law enforcement officers and first responders who bravely ran into the line of fire. May the peace of God be with everyone who is hurting. God bless Texas. Brooks Landgraf Statement. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican, Odessa, also gave a statement on Tuesday. 2 years ago today, our communities in Odessa and Midland were beset by a force of evil when a mobile rampage indiscriminately killed 7 innocent lives and left countless families grieving in the wake, Landgraf said. But in the face of such daunting darkness, the people of West Texas emerged as a bright light for all the world to see. Kind people from all across our communities and all across this state gave anything and everything they had, including their own blood, to help strangers that day in a desperate time of need, and they did so without batting an eye. Because the Permian Basin, even surrounded by a fury of unspeakable chaos, stood strong and responded with might in true Texas spirit. Please pray for all of the survivors and emergency responders of the August 31, 2019 shooting. We pray that they find healing and strength. We pray for the families of those we lost that day, the ones whose names will forever be etched in our hearts. Edwin Peregrino, Joe Griffith, Cameron Brown, Lila Hernandez, Mary Granados, Raul Garcia, and Rodolfo Arco. Permian Basin Fair and Expo Ready to Open by Royal McGregor. On Friday, the Permian Basin Fair and Exposition is scheduled to celebrate its 45th anniversary. This anniversary was pushed to 2021 after COVID-19 canceled last year's events. Permian Basin Fair and Exposition spokesperson Barbara Magana Robertson said there will be safety precautions in place, which includes extra hand sanitizing stations, extra hand washing locations, and a vaccination site. This kind of came up to see if we can get back to the community and work with the community partners, Robertson said, about the vaccine booth. As of Tuesday, the Texas Health and Human Services estimated there were 2,123 active cases of COVID in Ector County. Robertson said she has faith in the community that they will use their best judgment. The fairgrounds are scheduled to open at 5 p.m. Friday. The fairgrounds will continue to be open daily until September 12th. The fair and expo will feature live music, a carnival, livestock events, a petting zoo, scholarship pageant, talent show, rodeo events, a cornhole tournament, arts and vendors. Live music acts include Los Crazy Guys, Beatriz y Destino, Good as Gold, Casey Greathouse, Sabor y Ritmo, and Zach Webb Band. Other special events include Battle of the Bass and Cheerleading, Garden Tractor Pulls, A Dog Extravaganza, Eating Contests, Permian Basin Oil Burners, and Comanche Moon Fast Draw. Arena events slated for the Fair and Expo are Extreme Team Roping, Ranch Rodeo, Cattle Dog Trials, Team Roping, Barrel Racing, and a 4-H Archery Shoot. The archery shoot is the first arena event that will begin at 8 a.m. Saturday. There will also be livestock events to show rabbits, poultry, swine, open cattle, open boar goat, market goat, lamb, heifer, and steer. The livestock show will begin at 10 a.m. Saturday. Input sought for Downtown Master Plan by Federico Martinez. Odessa residents, it's time to let your voices be heard and opinions be known by participating in an online survey that will be used to help the city update their downtown master plan. The survey, which is being spearheaded by Downtown Odessa, Inc., will be followed by a series of 8 town hall meetings scheduled September 13th through the 15th. We want to hear everyone's opinions, good, bad, or indifferent, said Craig Stoker, chairman of the city's Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone. The TERS board is funding the master plan update. We want to have an idea of what people want. Each town hall meeting will focus on different topics, and the public can attend any of the meetings, Stoker said. All sessions will be held at the Odessa Police Department, First Floor Training Room, 205 North Grant Avenue. Scheduled meetings are as follows. Monday, September 13th, 10 a.m. to noon, Goals and Objectives. 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., Built Environment and Visioning. 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., Streetscaping and Walkability. Tuesday, September 14th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Land Use. 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., Activities and Public Events. 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., Parking. Wednesday, September 15th, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Grant Avenue. 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., Developers Workshop. 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., Presentation of Final Ideas. Stoker said he believes Downtown Odessa has all the basic ingredients for success already, but could use some additional resources and stronger marketing. We already have a wide variety of restaurants and boutiques and government services, Stoker said. We have more than 5,000 people working downtown every day, the majority of who are between the ages of 18 to 34. One challenge the city faces is offering activities and attractions that appeal to the 18 to 34 age range, Stoker said. Many people in that age demographic go to other towns on weekends to find entertainment that appeals to them. Another concern is that younger people move from Odessa because they grow bored. The city is already looking at possible projects to address this concern, Stoker said. For example, the TERS board on Thursday is expected to discuss a joint project with Odessa College that would create more downtown services and activities for younger Odessa residents. Overall, I feel really good about the direction of where we're going, Stoker said. People need to remember those changes don't happen overnight. We have to be patient. The City Council in June voted unanimously to hire planning and design architects, Kimley Horn, to oversee the updating of the plan. The firm is being paid $85,000 for their work. Kimley Horn officials have said the project will take about 6 months to complete. Local News Roundup. Jurassic Quest Drive-Thru. A Jurassic Quest Drive-Thru has been scheduled September 10th through the 19th at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Public hours are 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. September 10th. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. September 11th and 18th, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. September 12th, 16th, and 17th, 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. September 15th, and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. September 19th, closed Mondays and Tuesdays. Tickets are $49 per vehicle, 8 people or less. For tickets, visit www.jurassicquest.com. Training. Discover Odessa has scheduled certified Odessan training from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. October 20th and from 8:30 a.m. to noon October 21st at the Pecos Depot, 2140 Andrews Highway. Topics will include: learn how to be Texas friendly with a Texas Pecos Trail representative, learn about all the attractions Odessa has to offer its locals and visitors, hear from the host attraction about their mission and services offered, and tour the host attraction. The event is free. RSVP is required. Space is limited. To RSVP, call 432-333-7871 or email Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at discoverodessa.org. For more information, visit discoverodessa.org. Police seeking robbery suspect. The Odessa Police Department is seeking a subject suspected of robbing a victim at gunpoint in the East Side HEB parking lot. It happened in the early morning hours of August 22nd. The suspect is described as a Hispanic male with a white Ford pickup. There is also a passenger in the pickup. OPD has released photos of the man that can be seen at tinyurl.com/3WAVNFER. Anyone who recognizes the suspect shown in the photos is encouraged to contact Detective Gonzalez at 432-335-4926 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 21-00138-72.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.